Yeah, I mean, with the grass bicycle, we have a text. Everyone should have a text, of course. Because from now on, I believe I'll be confirmed in single words, in single ideas. Let's start from the beginning of Shmuel. Then a shmiz in Israel, a boy in Israel, a siyati, a ishu, a sibo. There's a list of the 12 shvati we entered. Mitzrayim, it's exactly, it's almost a repetition, it's a verbatim repetition of the parsha in Vayigash. Then a shmiz in Israel, a boy in Israel. Is Yaakov, Ishu Beis Bo. There's one question which bothers my mind. It might, I know what the answer is going to be, but nevertheless I'll try to ask a question. When the Pasuk appears in the Yigash, almost verbatim identical, we understand why it says Aboy Mitzrayim. Because it's present tense. The Yiddish is there when Yaakov was on the way to Mitzrayim and was about to enter the inner, I mean, to enter the gate of Mitzrayim. So the Torah suddenly has interrupted the story and gave us a list of the people who are ready to enter Mitzrayim. Zaboyim, present tense, is the proper tense to, in order to portray who came to Israel. Very strange name for her. Aboyim Mitzrayim, the Torah told us before the end that this is the count which the Torah took of them before they entered Mitzrayim. Aboyim Mitzrayim, but they were in the mood or they had the intention to enter Mitzrayim. The boy, but here already, that person belongs to a time which was removed, very far removed from the original dishes, so to say, from the original, from the original table of the names of Jacob. There was no Jacob. There was no Yosef, and the Torah itself says, "Vayomas Yosef v'cholechov, v'cholechov, vayomas Yosef v'cholechov v'cholechov." V'cholechov, why do you call them Ashabor? Ababor Mitzrayim, she said, Ashabor Mitzrayim. And you had the second half of the pasuk actually concludes this past tense. If Yaakov Ishu Beis Bo, but there, by the first pasuk in the Sefer Shmos, is Aboy Mitzrayim. And we were engaged, still engaged in the process of entering Mitzrayim. Yaakov and his family, original family, were still outside of Mitzrayim and were about to enter Mitzrayim. Of course, I know what you may say to me, that in Hebrew is the Rabboi means also in Ashabo. I understand that. But for me to accept it means suicide. I can't accept it. Then is the one who actually noticed this problem with the Midrash. Abdoin is Rama, so the matter says, Kilubarayim, as in this came today. The Torah speaks of the old immigrants who entered Mitzrayim in present tense because as if they were ready to enter Mitzrayim today, now. I believe there are two, I thought about it and I arrived at the conclusion there are two, that the Rabboi Mitzrayim, the present tense is very important to indicate two different events, not to tell us something very important about Godless Mitzrayim. It is so important that the Torah found it necessary to use the present tense describing an event which was 210 years old. First, and this is very important to understand and to feel, when you want to feel and to understand the term Golas in general. The mother says, Aboi Mitzrayimu Kilubo Ayin. It means that the people, the population of Mitzrayim, did not consider the Beis Yaakov who came to Mitzrayim as a part of the land, of the state, of the society, the culture of Mitzrayim. They looked upon them as if they just today entered Mitzrayim. As strangers, Jews. The question is, they are considered strangers? I mean, they've been in Israel for so long. How long do you have to be in the country in order to be considered a part of the country? How long do they have to be? But in Israel, 310 years, they are not enough. In the Am Bnei Yisroel Ravu Atzimimena. Bnei Yisroel didn't belong to the Am Bnei Yisroel did not belong to the society of Egypt, Egyptian society. They had no part, apparently, in the life, in the political, economic areas. They were considered strangers. Ve'ele Bnei Yisroel Aboi Mitzrayim, they are still in the process of coming into strangers. Israel. What does Israel mean? I mean, you know all what Israel means. The Chazal interpret Israel. What does Israel mean? Umealon, it means completely strange. Not just a stranger, not assimilated. But more than that, completely, completely. It is as if I were on one, at the right, at the east bank of the river, and he were. And he had been on the West Bank of Geneva. Completely stranger, see? No connection, no nothing, no links, nothing is considered. There is nothing to which the Ephraim and the Mitzrayim were supposed to have in common. They were supposed to have in common, but they did not have. They had nothing in common. Aboi Mitzrayim. Even Is Yaakov, Ishu Veseivo, even though those people came to Mitzrayim long, long ago, when Yaakov and the real Yaakov entered Mitzrayim 320 years or 10 years. But in the eyes of the people, according to their opinion, those Ephraim who were engaged for so long, for 310 years, I mean, America is not always there. They were Aboim Mitzrayim, Kilubo Bezayim. And this is interesting, it's important with regard to not only to Mitzrayim, all Goyim. If you simply mention Germany. In Germany, there were Jews in Germany. Rav Gershom Meir Agelo who was a contemporary, I believe, of Carl de, what was it? Charlemagne. Charlemagne. Charlemagne was it. I believe that he brought him. No, he brought Charlemagne. I believe, what was the name of my Rebbe? He gave us a Rebbe. Huh? Who? What was that? Anyway, the Rebbe Gershom Yaakov was a contemporary, more or less. More a contemporary of Charlemagne. It was a kind of contemporary. Still, and in the Middle Ages, the Jews, I mean, lived in the cities, I mean, or the trade of the city, the whole life, the commercial and the aspect of Germany could not be visualized and understood if we didn't know, if we would like to meet a Jew. Actually, the cities were populated by Jews, not only just populated, but they were the promoters of commerce and trade and so forth. But the Jews remained strangers, complete strangers. Otherwise, a catastrophe of the dimensions of the Holocaust couldn't have taken place, couldn't have happened. How many people, I mean, assimilated? How many Slavs were assimilated into the German population? But the Slavs disappeared. The Jews remained. Strangers. Ivrim. And Barsha Shmei speaks about Ivrim. Totally stranger. This is number one. Otherwise, couldn't have been such a charge made by Pharaoh, I mean, in a soil Rav Otsumeno, Roman Sakmoli, Peyude, Venezuela, Gamu Otsumeno. He speaks about Am Bnei Israel, Am Bnei Israel, Rav Otsumeno. And Am Bnei Israel, he meant people who lived in Israel for 400 years. It's ridiculous, but this is the essence, actually, of the anti-Semitic doctrine throughout the world.
The doctrine that Jews are refusing immediately, being disinterested, unconcerned with the people they live, and give their attention, I mean, some strange distance, all of them, and even though hundreds of years of shares, so they remain strangers among intermediate strangers in the countries where they live. At the same time, they can feel themselves seekers of some mystical,
country which is the real home of the Jews. What did you think? Now, of course, now they have to, they can point out very easily. This is the state of Israel, Mr. Bates. Somehow the Jew is always issuated, you may say, a boy in Mitzrayim, while they're still in the process of coming. And this is the destiny, and this is the source, actually, because the very root of the anti-Semitic charges. We are strangers. And they kill you Israel. Kadoshim Israel. Somehow we cannot assimilate ourselves in any culture, in any civilization, in any political community. We are always outside. We subdue in its way. Then there's another important meaning in the way in the tense of subdue in its way, in the present tense. Chazal say, as we was David Warren Miguel Alexander Frey. Schlesinger Schmann. Schlesinger ist Schengen. Schalle, du weißt just a moment. Schlesinger ist Schengen. And the metals expresses himself beautifully. Shimon Yod, Shimon Olam. Ruv Yod in Mitzrayim, Ruv Olam in Mitzrayim. Naftali Yod, Naftali Olam in Mitzrayim. Olam in Mitzrayim. After all this, the census which was taken in Mitzrayim, the second year after the Exodus, the kind of names introduced in the census. And forget the people who were in Israel for 300 years. No Adolf, no Ivan, no Charles. Ruben Yoad, Ruben, remained Ruben 300 years after he entered Israel. Yoad, Ruben Ola. Shimon Yoad, Shimon Ola. This is the sign that the Jew is conscious of his identity. Banish, if you ask me, so the Jew is conscious of his identity and he would not give up his identity. No force in the world which can compel the Jew to give up his identity. That's why it's Abdel Mitzrayim. Later, so Ruben came to Mitzrayim 300 years later. Ruben is on his way back to Atzisar. There is no Shimon name, then the language. How long does it take to change a language? Usually, it's a sociological viewpoint. 30 years. It's almost the generation changes the language, undergoes change. And apparently they spoke Russian Kiddush. In the same manner as easily as they did when they ended up with Tzar. What I show to you that in this process, this is a brain, the same Jew, the same Shabbos, the same observance of Zayin Mitzvah. So is the anti-Semitic charge correct or not? You have here in this passage, in Abayi Mitzrayim, you have here a contradiction in adjectives. Adoba Vafuch. On the one hand, the anti-Semites say, Abayi Mitzrayim. This is a slogan of the anti-Semites. Abayi Mitzrayim. Come on! Yes, I'm going to have a second, if you're in Federal Army. This is the charge. They are not a part of the society. They are strangers. They are aliens. They don't care for what modern society, the society in which they live, in which they are successful, in which they are, which they hate. Not one in the anti-Semite says it, or Haman says it, and Paris says it, Amnei Yisrael Rav Ratzon. On the other hand, what are we working for actually? What are you doing to here tonight? And what's our purpose tonight? To be a Shinchumish quality, whatever you want. The purpose is to reassert our identity and to tell the world that we are Jews. Regardless of thousands of years of goals throughout the world. So it means anti-Semitic charge is correct? So what do you say about it? Today, take now, Eretz Yisrael. The Jews, during the Holocaust years, and American Jewry was very, very indifferent. At least they show, do they act like that? They were afraid then of Roosevelt, and they didn't act properly. This happened during the Holocaust. That time I thought, this abhorrent kind of gentleman. The Jew apparently did not identify himself with his brother when he turned blinker and in Auschwitz, etc., etc. And had he felt identity with those people, he would have yelled and shouted and complained. And when the Agudath Arbonim organized a march in Washington, it was the day before I was in Kippur, and Roosevelt refused to receive them the day before I was in Kippur. And nothing happened, nothing helped. He refused to. So he let Wallace, who was vice president at the time, so he received the negation of Agudath Arbonim. And the Jewish people just did not react to such a thing. Matter of fact, many, particularly of the Jewish press, enjoyed this spectacle. 500 Rabbanim came to Washington. The French delegation consisted of five, and the president, interceded. But I must say, American Jewish today is different. American Jewish today is different. There's boldness, there's courage, and they don't get, and they simply change their attitude. First of all, they're not afraid of the goy so much as we did, as the East European Jew did, was. Secondly, there is a stronger sense of identity. This does not mean that we won the battle in America. This is a separate story, but a stronger sense of identity. There's no doubt about it, and I feel it in the air. So what is, what's the name, in accordance with our viewpoint? So is the Abroim Abroche or Rahman Islam Akloven? Is the idea of Abroim, Kilub Esmer Bo, is the accusation hurled at us by our enemies, is it true or untrue? And if true, so where is here the how should we think in terms of, if we want to understand our destiny in terms of our boy, and we interpret our boy both in the sense of always a stranger and also in the sense of our divine identity must not be sacrificed and must prevail, continue. Is it again a broch or a klo? Basically, those who charged the accusation of a boy in Mitzrayimo, like our enemies, don't understand one thing, that there are certain values or certain ideas or ideals to which the Jew is committed, which can never be cancelled. It is a relationship, a special relationship between God and the Jew. There is a special relationship between God and the Jew. A relationship which does not prevail between God and man. As a matter of fact, there is a special relationship between God and the human being, regardless who he is, a Jew or not a Jew, black or white. There is a special relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, communicates with man at two levels. one level, man is a part of the universe. Because Brahma is the creator of the universe. He has a relationship to every particle in the universe. So not a single particle in the universe, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply threw away. So man is a part of the universe, and he has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then there is a special relationship between God and Jew. This is the case of bliss. It is not a relationship of man, universal man, and God. Because this relationship is not direct to man. This relationship is between God and man is a part of God's relationship to the universe, to the cosmos. It's via the universe man can relate himself to God. This is the general one, but there is another relationship which is direct between God and man, and this relationship is the relationship which was the Jews say that it's not enough, a relationship between the universe within which there are men and ourselves. The Jewish people say, not enough, I'm not satisfied with it. Now, because the Lord apparently agreed with him. I want a special relationship, a personal relationship, and this is the covenant relationship. Jews, when it comes to me, certain areas in human life, actually take commerce, take scientific research, take healing and so forth, helping each other. They belong, all those values, all those ideas belong to the realm of God-man relationship. Man, universal man. If Al-Pi Aloha is Abneach, basically, is Musa, was instructed. We call it Shishanamit, it's not Shishanamit, I'm making a mistake. Because according to the Ramban, and the Ramban is also in agreement with him, even though we sometimes misinterpret the Ramban. But the Ramban says, Abneach is Chayav, is obligated to fulfill all mitzvahs, or to comply with all the rules of the Cheshev Mishpat. All the rules of the Cheshev Mishpat. Because those rules are not limited to Jews, but they include everybody. Those mitzvahs come under the special relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and as a relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the universal man. Then there is a special set of rules, mitzvahs, rules, ideas, which are rooted in the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Klal Yisrael, the individual relationship. The individual relationship, this is our property, our own property, it's our idea. We have signed the covenant, we have agreed to it. We have the covenant. In those ideas, we are different. And Abu Mitzrayim Okil Hayim Bo, but with regard to ideas, pertaining to commercial, to commerce, to scientific progress, to justice, I mean, to, and so forth. We participate and we are part of society. But however, whenever society tries to simply to terminate the identity, the special individual identity, trying to terminate it, and tell us how to observe our holidays, or tell us how to live in society and so forth, to tell us whenever society begins to teach us, like this, tries to teach us how to be like all of them, like all men, then we are there. Sometimes we display tenacity and we are less stubborn. We don't give in. A boy in Mitzrayim or in Amri Yisrael and what you remember in Sakmale. So he said that the Jew is absolutely not interested, let us say, in the security of the land. This is wrong. But the fact that the Jew, even though he's interested in security of the land, in the welfare of the land, and he does, and he makes his contribution to the land, the idea that such a Jew should give up his individuality, that's untrue. The demand itself is immoral, and the Jew ignores it. It's sometimes very difficult, I mean, to distinguish between them. Because it is two relationships. And many make mistakes. But mistakes are very dangerous in our society. But you should remember that a brain primer has two meanings, a positive meaning. Our identity will not be terminated. Our identity will continue forever. And then the opposite meaning, just this. Our identity, we are ready to protect the society where we live. The society is just to us. The society, I mean, is friendly, and we are ready to cooperate with this society. But a boy in Mitzrayim, there is actually a new idea. A boy in Mitzrayim is the same as before. Our enemies, I mean, try to interpret it in false terms. We have never said that it's true, and the people who say it were mistaken. But we have never said that the Jews should simply abandon. It is an impossibility. Abandon his identity and join a community or a society which is totally different from the ideas which Avraham Avinu, which originated with Avraham Avinu, with the others, which Yaakov brought to Mitzrayim. The Avraham Avinu Mitzrayim can be interpreted in two ways. Avraham Avinu Mitzrayim always political strangers, in political terms, in socio-political terms. The Avraham Avinu Mitzrayim is interpreted. This is an accusation made by our enemies. But then a boy Mitzrayim can be interpreted not in social, socio-economical, political terms, but in metaphysical terms, in transcendental terms. The terms of a higher being, at the level of a higher being, there to still a boy Mitzrayim as if we have entered, as if we had entered, which we try just yesterday. It's a double refuge. Mentioned in one word, in the present tense, in a brain of time. As a matter of fact, in Avoy Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim, we have a wrong picture of Mitzrayim. Avoy Mitzrayim made a Medrash interpret, and many other many forces. It does not mean that it's people in Mitzrayim. If you ask what sort of Jews live in Mitzrayim, what kind of Jews are there? What kind of Jews? We know that they were slaves, that they were tortured. I mean, what kind of... You know, the Rabbi of Yitzhak Yaakov, it was still before Magna Carta. What kind of Jewish life did they live? What was it? It's very hard to, you know, very hard to understand precisely what those Jews stood for. We know several mitzvahs down in the Ram speaks of Mitzrayim as Amram introduced mitzvahs. I would like to know what kind of mitzvahs are. Anyway, but Mitzrayim apparently among the Jews, the word is a spirit as it has been for so long in every Jewish community, which actually, I mean, would not really decide what to do in out there. Apparently there was a crowd of many Jews, who were simply assimilated or preached the gospel of assimilation. Take for instance the Rashi, the Shalach, the Medrash. As the Chavushim Yotzim Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, Chavushim means we won a 50. Or let's say Yotzim won a 5. So it means that the vast majority of the Jewish people was completely assimilated, and they did not join Moshe when he was ready, when Moshe was about to leave Mitzrayim. Where are they now? Where are they now? Now they disappeared in the jungles and tried. So it means those who understood Moshe was a small minority, I mean. Consisted of a small minority. One shot of ashes in 50. And one out of 50 joined Moshe. It means 600,000 men. We left Mitzrayim, you have to multiply that city by 50. But they were not ready. They were assimilated. And they had just by hinting to them, by hinting, like the Hadushim all, the Torah is not interested to tell us their story. And their story, what kind of story actually can you tell about them? The war Mitzrayim are very comfortable. Because not everybody in Mitzrayim was an Eved. And if he was an Eved, I mean, he was engaged in work which pleased him. Only a small group of Jews who understood very well their destiny and he joined Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Medrash tells us that Miriam, many Jews in Mitzrayim had Megillas scrolls. We don't know exactly what the scrolls consisted of, but most probably they had the scrolls on which Chumash Bereishis, which was the only Chumash they had, Chumash Bereishis was inscribed. And they can days of rest, like Shabbos, which Pharaoh gave them off. They used to read the Megillahs. They used to assemble in certain homes and discuss the content of the Megillahs. It was this very effective of them. Yetzias Mitzrayim did not start with Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe, the consummation of the miracle, the full realization, happened through Moshe, but they kept actually but the Jewish consciousness, or conscience, the Jewish emune, faith in the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was not just incidental. The people actually, the people cultivated it. And satisfy their lives in order that this particular identity, this strange identity, should continue until the final fulfillment of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pocket Pakat, spoke to Tavron, to Yitzchak, to Yankee, will arrive. There were many, many Jews who simply watched over the watched, not passively, but actively, the slow realization of Pocket Pocahontas. In my opinion, and trying to interpret the words Vayelech ish mebeit levi, Vayitzach es bas levi. What does it mean, Vayelech ish mebeit levi, Vayitzach es bas levi? Basically, it means shever levi. Yeah, but shever levi, this is beit levi. In my opinion, is when the Torah speaks about beit levi, so the Torah does not. The Torah is referring to the people who were active in maintaining and sustaining Jewish life or Jewish continuity in Israel. The word bias contains the idea of responsibility. When so Beis Alevi Bochus Hashem, or Beis Aaron Bochus Hashem, you don't mean here the biological bias, but the bias, a bias which is the representative of responsibility. And then the Yalda, just a minute. Is Vayelech ish mebeit levi, Vayitzach bas levi, means he belonged to those individuals, to those groups, which actually were, which resisted the attempts of Pharaoh to assimilate us. About Shevet Levi, about Shevet Levi, is a medrash explicit that they were the leaders and the teachers of the people of Mitzrayim before Moshe appeared. In other words, it does not mean that the Jews didn't do anything in order to protect their identity. Some didn't. Those who didn't remained in Yoshei Mitzrayim. Some who were busy and concerned with the future of the Jewish Mitzrayim But he knew very well if he should not, if he should miss this opportunity. So there would be no Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the whole promise made to Abraham in the beginning, if it wouldn't have been fulfilled. Then when we understand the pasuk, Vayit Asher Yoru Hamiyalus Esavakim Vayaslem Bokim. Well, there are many incidents. Vayaslem, what did you mean Vayaslem Bokim? Very difficult. I would say that Vayaslem Bokim does not mean actually Vayaslem Bokim means that the Almighty, Vayas refers to the Almighty. The Almighty has turned over the leadership of the people in Israel to the Miyaldis. Vayaslem Bokim means they became leaders. The Miyaldis was entrusted the leadership and authority to watch over to lead and to teach the message in Mitzrayim, who actually works in Haman already. Interestingly, as you tell the story from the Miyaldos, you'll find that there are those who were women. And according to the Kabbalah's Chazal, they were Yechevet and Miriam. And they actually they at Esther they have got to cover the leadership of the people in the tribe. The best proof is here to substantiate it is the strange role which Miriam plays. Chazal say, Amram God Ladeo here. He was the leader of the people. And when the Xerah of the Miyaldis was published, the Xerah of the Miyaldis, the Xerah of Kolavina Yehud, the Yehud Ashkohu, Amram from Ibeinu Ramitimesh, from Basim, Tachayim, was published. So Omad Amram, so God Ladeh, you know, said it. The Amram was a God Ladeh, with Yish as Ishmi, and he divorced Yehoshua. Because what's the use of having children if the child cannot survive? So they simply, I mean, terminated their divorce. Simply this talk of me, try to commit suicide. Miriam got up and she said, "If your policy worse than Pfeffer's policy, Pfeffer goes around throwing all the sons," he told the midwife, "should be killed. Lato gives her last horn while I'm killed." Because by terminating the miracle life, there will be no children. And the Medrash also tells us that the Misha Rabbeinu was the Tevas Gemen, which made him, his Misha Rabbeinu was placed in the Nile River. So Amram slapped her face and said, "Biti, biti, eichen nevuatech? My dear daughter, where's your prophecy? Now, all right, I listen to you. And he remarried our wife. So we have a child, beautiful child, a gorgeous child. He takes years, but what will happen to the child?" Zero Shinema, the matter says, "But it's touch at his Satsa Vahishim." She was interested. She had a personal concern. Because her father told her that her Nivui is futile, was futile. And worthless. They shouldn't have listened to her. But the impression we get is that nevertheless, Miriam was wrong. Not Amram with his pessimist approach. Miriam in her face was wrong. One because the way the event, took place in the city sequence of the events, so Miriam was right from beginning to the end. There is also a Medrash, not a Medrash, a Pesach, that after Kriyas Yamsu, Miriam took the instrument, Vatigach Miriam as a teif, Vatigach Benchiles, Benchiles. Vashir Hashem Kigoy Ego Asus Varech Leiron Bayom. The Torah tells us about Miriam, and right after the Torah told us, right after the Torah told us about Vashir from Misha Abim. Miriam and Viach is Aaron. Shows the role which Miriam and Levi played as far as it is Mitzrayim is concerned. If not for her, perhaps it is Mitzrayim wouldn't have taken place. So basically, after the people left Mitzrayim, the leader of the people was Moshe Rabbeinu. Before they left him from Mitzrayim, the nation was in Midian again. During his long sojourn in Midian, the leader of the people was Miriam and Miriam. Why actually Miriam? Because Vayaslam, this means Vayaslam, but Vayaslam, but it means in the sense that Miriam, Yehavid as well, Yehavid apparently supported Miriam. Yes, that's Miriam and Yehavid were ready to sacrifice their life, so the leadership and the authority and the authority as far as the people are, which rules with thought and the avoiding this way was turned over or passed on to the other. The Vayaslam brought him in the sense that they became the leaders of the Jewish community in Israel. And because that's Miriam,
so Meisha kept on saying, "Vainly Aminoli." And Akadosh Baruch Hu showed him that the people had faith. When he came to the people and told him the prophet Pocahontas, the people bowed, Akadosh Baruch Hu knelt before Akadosh Baruch Hu and thanked Meisha for the good tidings he brought to them. The answer is, apparently the Meisha's Le'aminoli, arrived at the conclusion. And then the Gemara in Shabbos says that Akadosh Baruch Hu told them, if you don't believe, they all believe. If you display your faith in the future of the people, they respond with a munah. And they'll dedicate themselves to the Gula's Mitzrayim. And matter of fact, for me, Meisha said it, Meisha did not make up stories. Meisha said it, why was Meisha so skeptical about it? So skeptical about it. Namely, Aminoli. Because Meisha's experience before he was compelled, to leave Mitzrayim was not a very pleasant one. And the experience, the conclusion we derive from his experience did not portray the people as great Bala Emune. So Akadosh Baruch Hu told them, forget, you had a bad experience, but don't forget so many years under the leadership of your sister, of Miriam, has passed. And there are different people now. Because the leadership Mitzrayim before before the people left this, to this land of slavery, and their way out to slavery, the lead was in the hands of Miriam for so many years. And Miriam prepared the people which prepared the people for the ruler which came later when Mesha arrived. This is why Yaphraim Botin means they became the influential people. They influenced the people. They say Botin means they assume the responsibility to prepare a nation which should follow whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be ready to HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be ready to redeem the people, so the people should follow. Miriam and Yehoshua, particularly Miriam, was responsible for the woman, because without their cooperation, their teaching and training the people and implanting in them faith, the mess of Mitzrayim was made possible. Otherwise there wouldn't be no Nes of Mitzrayim, because there wouldn't have been any army, soil, not being a boy Mitzrayim. We accomplished it, a boy Mitzrayim, came a boy as well. Miriam and his servant. This is like Yika Shayora, and Yaldis is a regime. So after this goal, he took away the leadership of Amram, because his guess was wrong, and turned it over to Miriam. What was Miriam's courage, greatness? What did the name greatness express itself in the incident of the Miyalkis? They defied Paranel of Mitzrayim. Kasha Yoldu, Yorlam, Yaldis, Vesalatim, and were ready, I mean, to incur martyrdom rather than violate the law of the theater. It's by Yaskrahem, but it's for his Boko, turned over the leadership. It was Amram got Lador, the Gemara says. Amram was over Lador, not Miriam. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply took away the leadership. Demoted Amram from his high position as the leader, the exarch, as the leader of the people, and turned it over to a young girl by the name of me, the name of Miriam. But Yaskrahem Bati, he gave them authority, bias in the sense of authority. Now, This idea comes to expression with the word Matisatza Fahesin Rochet. It means that the Hesin, he started Moses when he was in Egypt. Stood apart means she tried to see the future. think I see the far future. Because then we are puzzling. She felt, she was an idea, she knew that now the event which just began, the events which took place, those events are not just incidents, but they are leading, that they will lead to full redemption. This is enough. Now there is another problem with tsunami. We have to understand. Why did Pharaoh actually command the Jewish midwives to kill the infants? Why he was afraid? Why didn't he issue instructions? And there would have been no doubt about the precision. Would be no doubt if he turned it over. It's just part of the Holon. He did it later. Vayikik Yoram Yalos Mekim Vayakon Bosim, and then there is Vayitzav Parim Cholam Yabkol Aben Ayil Yilot Hashem Rabas Tachayim. So Parim, so Pharaoh couldn't, if he had wanted, to issue the order that every child, every infant be killed if he is a male. They could have issued before. Why did he play around with the Miyaldis Hebrews? The method employed by the Sinai Israel throughout the generations was not only the method actually employed by Sinai Israel throughout the generations was not only to oppress the Jew, but to discredit him in the eyes of the world, to prove to the world that the Jew is a subhuman, an immoral being, and does not deserve the sympathy of other peoples. As a matter of fact, during the Holocaust years in Poland and Lithuania, I believe people told this story to me. But I read about it. Nazis used suddenly grab people on the street, Jews, assemble them in a hall, usually a very in one of the finest hotels in Warsaw, and they used to tell the Jews to dress up nicely in their festive clothes. On the table, when the Jews came to the hall, there was delicious food, most of which actually it was almost impossible to get hold of such precious items. Delicious food was an orchestra. They used to tell the Jews to dance. The women they used to bring to that locale. And viewing, feasting. So the Nazi photographer kept on taking pictures. And then from the locale, he was sent to Treblinka
and destroyed and the gas in the oven of the crematorium. What was the idea? The idea we found later after the war, I don't remember who's among whether it's among the documents of Frank or Goebbels, I don't know, but one of them. We found out the motive, why did they do such things? They wanted to show that the Jews are subhuman, the world is inanimate. It's not even worthy to be treated humanly. Because they themselves, the Jews themselves, don't care about Treblinka or Auschwitz, as for instance. They don't care. Had they cared, how could they arrange banquets in such a time? How could they arrange banquets in such a time? If they had cared for their brethren, if they had sympathy for those Jews who, I mean, at the time when they feasted, who were suffering in Treblinka in all other concentration camps. This is an old method, I mean, employed by Stalin and Mitzvah. He wanted to show that it's not worth, they're not worthy of sympathy. And because the Yaldish Hebrews, after all, the midwives, have no sympathy for the legal ones. And they kill them at birth because they are afraid precautions on the part of the king of Egypt if he refuse to comply with the instructions. And don't forget, some youngest Israelite interested, Shifra poor. And the Gemara interprets, the Shifra poor means it was tasky to make it pleasant for the mother, while she's in labor pain, and to help the child with birth. This is the task, but the Jewish midwives are so rotten. And so, it is a personification of evil that you cannot trust the midwives without the midwives. As a shemrech is poor, a shemrech is poor, whose job is to do chesed. You see, Jewish midwives, who instead of doing chesed with the infant, with the mother, are living in the pain and improve the appearance of the baby, of the infant. And nevertheless, just fear for the king of Egypt made out of them baby killers or infant killers. It's not worse than me to protect the truth. He has no sympathy or compassion for little children, for infants. The world will benefit very little by those Jews. Because the children whom they kill are just as bad as they are. And simply, I mean, to tell us, and this is one of the methods of the anti-Semitism. That's why Pharaoh said, Ruto Melech Mitzrayim Lam Yalde Yisro Yifre as a Shema Haskura Shema Shemish Shifu. That's what he wanted to demonstrate. And that's it here, it says Vayika Shoyodra and Yalde Yisro Yifre. So Vayashlem Botim is the end of the relief, authority, and the leadership in the house. For they have saved the whole people. Und jeder sich mit der Israel und ich weiß, was heißt, was da er ist, was er ist, denn la Tere ist, was ich denke, was ich kenne, ist nicht, was ich kenne. Und ich auch will das Spinnen, die ich das Ticker mit dem, die das Gamer, das auch mit der, das Hamro war, Bachim und Vazetes, was das ist, was ich kenne, was das ist, was ich kenne, was das ist, was ich kenne, 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 Interesting is that the verbs which are used here refer to the feminine gender. La terre is a kitengu, but it's familiar with Shodoshim, Le Yochlo, La Tika, but Hamro, Bachemer, but Toshem Boes, a Yelet, Nihedit. Where is Amon? That the voice is in the matter. It's not a little, an insignificant decision. It's a decision of a stimulation, a child. Apparently he had no voice because the leadership was taken away from him. Vayaskohem was turned over to Yeshevet and to Yeshevet was involved. נתיר את בספר הנכס על היער ונעשר הכס על יד היער ותפתח ותראו את הילד שנינה בלך ותח מבולו ואתנה מיילד הילד ותפתח שרף מבקספר ותראו את הילד שבים ותיר את הילד ותראו את הילד שנינה בלך ותח מבולו ואתנה מיילד הילד There is something very strange in us. What is that Vatereo? Should it be in Vatere, Senor? No. So according to Rashi, Rashi raised this question. I said, Vatifka, Vatereo. Whom? Somebody else? And Esa Yelet is the child, but she saw somebody, not only the child, Mishin, but somebody else. But we don't understand, we now make it right, but Tachmer Lolo, but Tachmer, the Yalder Yisrael. But the first one is very strange. Pharaoh had a daughter. Apparently she was a decent woman. Chazal says, Yisrael Vachar. A decent woman. But however she was just a girl in the palace. A daughter, just a girl in the palace of Pharaoh. She had no voice. She met us of state. She couldn't change the instructions and the edicts of her father. And apparently, when Pari issued the order, he accepted like the Nazis later. That the Jew, any Egyptian who harbors a Jew or protects him from being taken prisoner by the Nazis as people, has to be punished with death. And still, the Batya, her name was Batya, but Pare did not feel like reported to the Gestapo, to the police. They should pick up the baby and kill the baby. No, she didn't. Somehow in the spirit, there was a spirit of rebellion suddenly developed. Spirit of rebellion. She revolted against the father. What happened? But Pare was Bas. What did Bas Pare actually? But the Bas Pare apparently had very, very positive traits. Apparently she had a certain talent, which is very important in times of crisis. But Pare, could recognize and identify greatness. There are people who cannot identify greatness. And as a matter of fact, such people should never be the heads of kingdoms, of any political, of state, because basically a great statesman, does not consist in having having a statesman who has a universal mind and is very educated. It's not consistent that a great leader, a great statesman, consists in the ability, the ability of recognizing, identifying, and classifying geniuses, greatness, and knowing how to utilize their greatness. As a matter of fact, those rulers, kings, like Alexander, Magnus, and so forth, Napoleon, they had the ability to recognize greatness or expertise or intelligence. I don't know why only saying was going that a good ruler is not the one who is great himself, but who recognizes indeed greatness in others. And you take Pharaoh from the times of Jesus, 300 years removed from the story told in Shemesh. There was a Pharaoh who promoted Jesus. He apparently had the talent of identifying greatness. He had a dream. And many Chatumim offered interpretation, interpreted the dream. And the Pesuk says that nothing could convince Pharaoh that there is an interpretation, is the right one. The Pesuk says. And then Jesus said, Yeshiv, prima facie, he had the impression that Yeshiv gave him a similar interpretation. They said 7 girls, he said 7 cars. And the prophet said that as long as the Chatumim stood before him, he was not a vain, who knows the person we have. It means on Chazal, what are you facing? But he didn't try. Suddenly Joseph came, and he told him, the interpretation itself is not, there is no need to be a genius in order to give it such interpretation. Suddenly he got so excited. And so I mean, as for something extraordinary, out of the ordinary happens. He turns around to his to the courtier, to the Risha Misha Shahuach of the Kingdom. How do you know? There was no proof, I mean, to confirm Jesus' interpretation to reject the interpretation of the other Hasidim. And then in Chochom Kameicho, Raka Tifi Yigdom Emeko. How did he get it? How did he actually arrive at such conclusions? The answer is he had this sensitivity toward greatness and toward the genius in that. He felt the very moment Yosef walked into his room, into his reception hall, before he interpreted, he already felt that this man is the answer to all his chalims, to all his dreams. And his interpretation will not only be true, but he will implement them as well. This similar talent, his daughter of Pharaoh, 300 years later, similar ability. Namely, that she recognized greatness, nobility, beauty. And when she said, when she stopped, may she, but she, and when she opened the table as gamer, so she saw not only nation, but here you. She immediately felt that Moshe radiates something which no other child has a great potential. That he really, as if the glory of God, as if the nation would reflect the glory of God. And right away, to her mind, the flesh, I mean, when she asked herself, if this is the child of the Ephraim, which my father instructed to be killed? If this is the child about whom the children, this kind of a child, does not raise in its time? This kind of a child, did my father may condemn to death? And about this kind of a child, my father says that the child is subhuman, is the devil itself, the incarnation of evil. It's impossible. Satireu. She saw the child, but more than the child. She saw somebody who is near the child. If this is the child whom my father, instructed the Egyptians to kill, so then I made a terrible mistake about my father. She said somebody whom no other person, she radiated the glory of the spirit. That's a yellet. This child was condemned by my father. If this is the child which my father instructed the people to kill, so I don't intend to comply with my father's order. The first spark of rebellion, she began to rebel. Tatena, Miguel de Isenze, and right away, Tatena, Rafael, Baspari, Aileh, the colossal official, Minikis, 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 Tatena, Haalma, Vatika, Sergei. Yeah. Interesting is something else, I mean, I'm sure it's in the way. The thing about Spari, initially the younger of them, they include me. When the happiness is correct, the teacher for Yisrael had yelled what he became. Did she pay her or not? Did she pay her? She said, when he had in his heart, the teacher of Isha yelled what he became, the Yigdala yelled what he made with a star, the hero of the name. But apparently she didn't keep her word. And had she kept her word, she would have been the Yigdala yelled what he made with a star. But Titan is low as hell. But he won't win. What happened? The memory says, the Lamish in his Gaia. Aspara joined the people when they left Mitzrayim and on their way to the promised land. So how do you remember the Hanukkah? I believe the answer is simple. Then she came, even though Aspara said the Yalde evil in the world, she said so and she began to rebel against her father. She first time realized that her father is just a cruel tyrant who wants to perpetuate might for himself. And his orders not only must be implemented, but also must be resisted. Right there. The Yalda Yidra with them is, and my father is cruel and he's not truthful and you don't have to comply with his orders, correct? But when the mother came, she said to herself, that's fine. Why should you waste such a child? Father is wrong. Of course wrong. Such a child should be brought up and be given opportunity to develop and to realize his potential, to realize his greatness. But why should I raise a child who later will not belong to me? So she called anybody. The Chevet came, she said, Vashalom Loch Eschorech. But one mistake, please, don't make. One mistake, please. That you'll raise the child and you'll be the mother. I'll be the mother. I'll pay you. I mean, many, many And during the Holocaust it was a very quite an ordinary debate between a Goyish couple and a Jew who wanted to hide his child. Most of the Catholics in Poland or Lithuania actually adopted Islam and took away the child from the parents. Later after the war, when the parents came searching for the child, and as a matter of fact, they found and identified the child, so they refused to return the child to the natural mother and father. How many conflicts we had with the heads of the so-called monasteries and nunneries who didn't want to return the child to the others, but kept on saying the words that were baptized through the tradition. And we did not try to raise Jews to raise children for the sake of helping the Jew, but we raised the children and they didn't deliver them to the Gestapo because we looked upon them as our own children. This is exactly what it was about. The Asharim Eschol, Ani Etem Loch Eschol. I'll pay you as much money as you want. But the child I want for myself. Then she didn't pay. She didn't pay. The Torah has not recorded that she paid the child. Why? Because she understood well that nation, she is not the mother of a nation. And she finally decided to bring the sacrifice and tell another nation whom she liked very much, most probably. There was no reason why I wanted this. I mean, there was no reason for not liking Misha. There was no reason. And at last, she decided to bring the second sacrifice. The first sacrifice was when she began to rebel against her father. And ever since she went underground, she joined the resistance. But the second time, this was the first time, the second time, our second call, our second sacrifice, which she brought. Is giving away Meshe Rabbeinu to Yechaveh. She understood that Meshe's place is not in the palace of the kings of the Egyptian empire, but in his future life, a quite different career. Vayigdal hayeled v'atuveyu levashtarei vayilo levei, she looked upon him. But she knew that Meshe's role will transcend. His private, her is more important. Meshe's role in the event, Meshe's role is by far more important. There's a greater significance than their happiness in the end of the child. A year on it by the day, and that's all. Right.